Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Our guest on Spectrum this morning is Jonathan Lovitz. And Jonathan, you wear many hats. You have business cards filled on both sides. So tell us a little bit. I know you're here primarily because we're in New York, and you are the executive director of the local chapter, the NGLCC, which is the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. But you also have a national hat that you also wear. So tell us a little bit about that and maybe a little bit about your background.
Sure. Well, it's so great to be talking with you. So I have multiple hats that I wear, as you said, running our New York affiliate, the NGLCC NY, which is one of over 40 affiliates domestically in the United States of the NGLCC, America's LGBT Chamber of Commerce, representing about 1.4 million LGBT business owners in the United States. And that is coupled with our work around the world through our NGLCC Global Program. We're now in 13 countries with probably a dozen more on the horizon in the next few years. So it's a truly global movement connecting LGBT business owners to multinational corporations, to each other, and building economic strength, and in many cases around the world, building equity to fight back against human rights abuses by building a stronger, more economically empowered LGBT community.
What is your background? Where did you come from, and where did you think you were going, and where did you wind up?
You know, like so many young gay men in New York, I came here to work on Broadway.
Really?
And I was really lucky that I did. I came here because I was a performer, and through a series of fantastic events, Broadway led to television, television led to TV news, and while I was out and doing some reporting in the news, I was very open about wanting to discuss LGBT issues, and that just kept snowballing, and before I knew it, I was still on camera, but talking about these issues from the position of major LGBT organizations, speaking on behalf of candidates, and just staying really involved in the cause. And somehow I've never left, and it's been a phenomenal experience. Now, I'm just celebrated 2 years here at the NGLCC. I travel all around the country, all around the world now, meeting with business owners, talking with the community, and it's just been the greatest blessing.
Where's home, and what was your early training?
I grew up in South Florida in the Fort Lauderdale area, and then was a proud University of Florida graduate, go Gators, and when I was graduating school, my family moved to the Orlando area, so that's home. Been home for over a decade, and of course, you know, in the past year we've had the tragedy in Orlando, but it's also a city of phenomenal hope and optimism and tremendous inclusion. It's a great place to be. I'm very proud to be from there. In my years as a performer, traveled to 49 states, so I've seen quite a bit of the U.S., going to finally hit Hawaii, my 50th state, when I have my honeymoon and get married this year. Great. So very excited about that, and hope that this job allows me to continue traveling overseas and meeting more of the community around the world.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with the NGLCC, and from your position as an insider, give us a little historical perspective on how the two gentlemen actually started the NGLCC, and what was their purpose, what was their goal?
It's auspicious that we're talking about that because this is our 15th anniversary year, and we're looking back and amazed at not only how we got here as an organization, but all that's happened in the course of 15 years for the LGBT community. So Justin Nelson and Chance Mitchell, our co-founders, were dear friends, political operatives, brilliant men in the community in Washington, D.C., got together and were about 15 years ago and said, no one is looking at LGBT issues through the economic lens. And if you look at the trend over the last 15 years, especially in the marriage equality fight, trans rights issues, it is the business community that's out in front. And not just the big corporations who are signing amicus briefs to the courts, it's small businesses who are, you know, the lifeblood of a community, saying, we're invested in these issues, we're going to be smart about where we spend our money, we're going to be smart about how we invest in our communities and each other. So that's what predicated the NGLCC, was the sense of creating equity to back up equality. And we do that by being the only organization in the world that can certify a business as being LGBT-owned, so that they have equal access to the same opportunities afforded to women and other minorities in the United States. And it has been truly transformational for the community. Billions of dollars are spent on diverse-owned businesses every year, and now we finally have a seat at the table to get a piece of that. And that's helped us build so much strength, and not just in New York and San Francisco. We're talking about, you know, small ma-and-pa shops
right.
in Central Texas, in the, you know, the Deep South, in the Midwest. You know, I think 15 years ago, we'd all be shocked that Atlanta is one of our largest, most successful chambers because it's all about bringing diverse communities together and giving them opportunity. And that's true of so many small towns and big cities across the country where LGBT people and their businesses are thriving.
Our guest is Jonathan Lovitz on Spectrum today. Jonathan is the executive director of the local chapter in New York of the NGLCC, which is the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. Let me just play the devil's advocate for 10 seconds. Now that the NGLCC obviously is certifying businesses, and businesses can be certified as an LGBT-owned business, did you originally or even contemporaneously get any pushback from the other minority groups and minority chambers about we just don't need any more seats at the table?
Spoiler alert, there are LGBT people in every other minority community. So when we help each other, we help each other. And that's always, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm a part of our policy team as well. So I get to work on the legislation that we've enacted at the federal, state, and local level to help include LGBT people in economic opportunities. And the initial pushback is always regarding, well, if you add, you know, the LGBT community, that's going to take away from the pie for everybody else. Well, the pie is as big as we collectively want to bake it. The more opportunities there are, the more competition there is. The more competition there is, the lower the bid prices get on things. And when there's, you know, when there's lower prices, there's more money to go around. And also something that's really powerful that's happening is greater collaboration than ever before between diverse communities. So you see, you know, an Asian American owned business teaming with an LGBT owned business, teaming with a woman owned business, saying collectively we are so much stronger than if we were to try to go in to win this business on our own. So let's be this, you know, amazing patchwork collection of communities working together. And it's why at the NGLCC we're very proud of something called the National Business Inclusion Consortium. It's a very long phrase to say it's the coming together of all the diverse business communities in America. Asian American, LGBT, African American, Hispanic, women, disability, you name it. Saying when we all do better, we all do better. No more us against you. Opportunities only work when they're presented to everybody. So we don't buy into that notion that it's taking away from anybody else because the table keeps getting bigger.
Let's talk from the corporate side for just a moment. There seems to be an obvious push in corporate America to create and maintain a supplier diversity department, a division, a person, but also an outreach mm-hmm. to the community. And I guess corporate America has realized the importance and the value of a diverse workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, corporate America... and we don't say this in many contexts, but corporate America is really teaching us all something. And they are putting forward this notion that is both a best practice, but also a good for business mentality that diversity makes us better. And you look at, as we do at the NGLCC, this sort of circle of diversity that helps a business succeed. And in the corporate context, that is internal programming, things like are you giving health care and marriage benefits and transition assistance and all the things that are part of the normal work benefits and work-life package that every other community gets? Is the LGBT community a part of that? Then you look at the authentic marketing. You know, 15 years ago, just putting a rainbow on a vodka bottle was enough to say, we're gay-friendly in June. Now it's so much more than that. Advertising and marketing has to really tell our story and not just try to sell at us, but include us. And then the final piece, as you alluded to, is supplier diversity, which is, are these corporations who have supply chains, you know, several miles long where every element that goes into their business is sourced from somewhere else, is that including as many diverse-owned businesses, particularly LGBT-owned businesses, as possible? And thankfully, they're ever-growing. And you see it popping up in sectors no one expected. Of course, the airlines, hotels, all the sectors where there has been long-standing LGBT inclusion have, you know, continued to walk that walk with including LGBT businesses, but now you're seeing it in places that might shock you, like aerospace and defense. You know, we're working with major government agencies now.
Sports franchises.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Major League Baseball, the Super Bowl, the NBA, tennis, golf. They're all inclusive of LGBT businesses. And that's fantastic because that is a perfect parallel and support to what they're doing in the LGBT marketing space, saying that we want to have more LGBT nights and welcome you as fans, but we also want to welcome you as part of the community that makes everything we do happen.
Let me touch on the sociological sector as well. We've covered a couple of other quadrants here. On the sociological side, one comparison between the Asian community, which we work with very closely, and the LGBT community is that they are sometimes victims of stereotypes. And obviously this economic clout and this presence in the business community is for on both sides, with both groups of people, is really helping to make people take notice, I think, a little bit. Do you see
absolutely
that?
Oh, I mean, I've been on you know, major cable news shows and on public radio and with, you know, brilliant minds who know American business, and they'll still ask, so an LGBT owned business, that's, you know, cake shops and decorators, and you know, after I finish smacking my face into my hand, I go, yes, and may I mention we're also national defense contractors, and we are major construction companies and staffing agencies, and, you know, from A to Z, if you can buy it, an LGBT-owned company can supply it. And that's true in all diverse communities. And I love when we get together with the other minorities in America and talk about innovation, talk about who's coming up with the next great idea, and how can we share that with each other. And we see that, you know, very powerfully happening in big cities like New York, San Francisco, where there are major hubs of the LGBT community, the Asian American community, you name it, collaborating at the level of the Chambers of Commerce, at the Comptroller's Office, whatever it may be, saying, it makes sense for us to be working together. There's so much more to do.
We have Jonathan Lovitz, our guest, with us on Spectrum from the NGLCC, National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, here in New York. And also, before we let you go, Jonathan, I know, of course, this is June, which is Pride Month, big deal. We'd also like to make an overture to any of our listeners who may be business owners from the Asian community, that there are a lot of resources available to them as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a partner, as whatever they may be in whatever field they happen to be in. How could they outreach to the NGLCC to inquire about membership, and also perhaps if they're listening outside the New York area in one of the other areas where we have listeners, which is pretty much everywhere on earth, how can they seek out their local chamber?
Well, we hope you'll check us out at nglcc.org. That's our website, and our Twitter is at NGLCC as well. You can find a list of all of our affiliates domestically. I said, but we've got over 40 in the United States with more on the way, and nearly two dozen across the world. Again, more on the way there, too. So if there's not an NGLCC affiliate near you, rest assured one's coming. But also the resources that we have are digital. Particularly if you are working internationally, our International LGBT Business Registry helps multinational corporations find your company. In the U.S., our certification is accepted by over a third of the Fortune 500. So if you've heard of a company, probably one you're going to see marching in Pride somewhere, they're eager to work with you. So get in touch with us at NGLCC.org. Check out your local resources like the SBA, the Small Business Administration, who's been a long-standing partner of the NGLCC, your local Chamber of Commerce, whether it's the LGBT or just community-based chamber, and quite honestly, go up and down Main Street. It's so important that we're out and proud in our businesses, and whether it means talking to your customers about who you are and where you come from, or advertising your certifications in your window or on your website, letting people know who we are, that we're proud of who we are. We're proud to be job creators and business owners and innovators, making the American dream possible for everybody, reminds them that we're all in the same game together. So it's really impossible, and I think it's more important than ever to look at this during Pride Month, that, you know, particularly right now, a government can't claim to be pro-business and anti-gay at the same time. The numbers, the dollars and cents just don't add up, and that's true across the board for all other diverse communities.
You mentioned dollars just a second ago, which triggered in my brain the fact that there were some recent figures that have come out that really put a face on the numbers. that the LGBT community generates.
We're so proud of that. The America's LGBT Economy Report, the first ever crunching of the numbers of what our community puts into the U.S. economy every year. And here's some of the shocking numbers. About 1.4 million LGBT business owners in the United States contribute about $1.7 trillion. That is greater than the GDP of Australia, greater than the GDP of South Korea, greater than the GDP of our friends in Russia. So we should be quite proud of our impact here. And with that comes all the important concepts of innovation, job creation. Just 1,000 LGBT businesses that we surveyed created 33,000 jobs. So you can't tell us that creating more equal opportunity for the LGBT business community, like any other diverse community, isn't good for the economy. So again, to that point about the seat at the table, we now have the data to prove the worth that we all knew all along. And as more people come out, get certified, share their data, share their stories, we'll be able to paint an even more cohesive picture about what we're doing in the LGBT market here and around the world.
And we also wanted to mention that the organization has social events held practically on a monthly basis, and there are several membership levels, so you can kick the tires and just become, you know, a casual observer for, you know, a couple of months and see if you are getting anything out of it, and then you can make your commitment down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't say enough good things about joining your local affiliate chamber, wherever it is around the country or around the world. It's where the real B2B connecting in your community happens. It's where you become part of that social fabric where someone says, hey, do you know anybody who sells this? Oh my gosh, yes I do. I just met him at the chamber event. But also, if you really want to think big, and our communities are so good at that, I cannot encourage you enough to come to the NGLCC conference. It's August 1 through 4 in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's our 15th anniversary celebration, and it is the largest LGBT business event on the planet. We're expecting close to 1,500 attendees. 200 corporations will be there, and they're not just there to shake hands. They're there to meet you and buy from you. So if you are interested in growing your business, meeting other brilliant business leaders from around the world, get to Las Vegas. You won't be disappointed. And all of that's on NGLCC.org.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan, so much for coming by. Have a great Pride Month. Safe travels, because that seems to be where you always are, either going into, coming out of, or sitting in an airplane. But thanks again for coming by and enlightening our Asian American audience here on Spectrum about the work of the NGLCC.
Thank you so much. Wishing everybody a very happy Pride, and hope to see you all soon.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.